This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise from Charles Schwab is an original podcast that unpacks the stories making news there. Listen at schwab.com/WashingtonWise.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is calling for a global minimum corporate tax rate. But will other nations get on board?
The problem is you're essentially just asking everyone to kind of hold hands and jump at the same time.
We'll have more on how her proposals could shape meetings with global counterparts later this week. And a big win for Google in a long-running copyright battle with Oracle. Plus, why ketchup can't catch up. It's Monday, April 5th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The Supreme Court has sided with Google in a multi-billion-dollar copyright battle with Oracle, throwing out a lower court ruling. The case revolves around Google's use of the popular programming language Java to build its Android operating system. Oracle acquired the language in 2010 and alleged that Google's actions amounted to an infringement of Oracle's copyright. But the Supreme Court said today that Google's use of some Java code fell under fair use. The decade-old case is drawing attention from companies that rely heavily on copyright protections. Here's our legal affairs reporter, Brent Kendall, with more.
If you're a copyright owner, you're not terribly happy with today's decision. I mean, even outside of software, the movie industry, the music industry, publishing industry, everybody that has copyrights and depends on the strong value of their copyright supported Oracle in this case, because they all want rules that give copyright as much value as possible. Now, on the other side, all the people that want to do build-on programs, other software developers, I mean, even Microsoft, internet companies that create apps and platforms that are interoperable and build off of other programs, they all supported Google in this case. And so they're all going to be a lot happier with the outcome today.
U.S. stocks rose today on fresh signs of an economic rebound. Data released Monday showed the services sector continuing to make gains after it was battered by shutdowns, stay-at-home orders, and consumer caution stemming from the pandemic. The Institute for Supply Management Services Index rose to an all-time high in March, exceeding analysts' expectations. That comes on the heels of Friday's March jobs report, which showed a surge in hiring last month. Both pushed markets higher. The Dow and the S&P 500 hit new records today, climbing 1.1% and 1.4% respectively. The Nasdaq closed up 1.7%. At least 30 lawsuits have been filed in Texas and three other states over soaring gas prices after a February storm knocked power out for millions of people. Companies are arguing over who's responsible for the bills, and billions of dollars are at stake. Some of the suits allege that gas suppliers engaged in price gouging during the storm, overcharging utilities. Meanwhile, some suppliers are suing utilities and others over unpaid bills. The majority of the lawsuits have been filed in Texas courts, where blackouts and freezing temperatures wreaked havoc on state infrastructure, sending natural gas prices up nearly 17,000% in some parts of the state. Experts expect more lawsuits to come. And Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is threatening serious consequences for corporations that retaliate against Republican efforts to pass new state election laws. McConnell pointed specifically to the backlash against a controversial election bill passed last month by the GOP-controlled Georgia legislature along party lines. Georgia-based Delta Airlines, Coca-Cola, and other companies condemned the Georgia law after criticism from civil rights advocates who said the rules would make it harder for Georgians, especially minority voters, to cast their ballots. Last week, Major League Baseball also said it would move this summer's All-Star Game and amateur draft out of Atlanta in response to the law. In a statement today, McConnell said the legislation had been misrepresented as racist by opponents. He warned against what he described as private sector advocacy for progressive policy goals, but he didn't mention any companies by name or specify what consequences they might face. Coming up after the break, what's a global minimum corporate tax rate? And what does it have to do with President Biden's infrastructure plan? We'll explain.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
We talked last week about President Biden's $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan and the plans to pay for it in part by increasing corporate taxes from 21 to 28%. Critics are warning that raising the tax rate would hurt U.S. companies' ability to compete globally. Today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen made the case for how to prevent that from happening. In a virtual speech before the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, she called for a global minimum corporate tax rate.
We're working with G20 nations to agree to a global minimum corporate tax rate that can stop the race to the bottom. Together, we can use a global minimum tax to make sure the global economy thrives based on a more level playing field in the taxation of multinational corporations and spurs innovation, growth, and prosperity.
Now, that proposal isn't entirely new, but it's sure to spark conversation at two big finance meetings this week with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, especially since a lot of countries aren't rebounding as well as the U.S. Joining me now to talk more about the proposal is Wall Street Journal economic policy reporter Kate Davidson. Hi, Kate. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Kate, what exactly is a global minimum corporate tax rate? What does Yellen mean when she says that?
So the general idea here is that countries want to discourage businesses that are headquartered there from moving their profits, their operations overseas or just to other countries that have lower tax rates. So Janet Yellen and many others have kind of described this phenomenon as a race to the bottom. As countries are competing for business, they lower their tax rates more and more to try to attract companies to come and move there. And so setting a global minimum tax would kind of put a floor on that. In other words, if you were a U.S. company and you shifted a bunch of your operations overseas, rather than only having to pay, you know, income tax on, you know, based on that country's, you know, that country's tax rate, which might be much lower, the global minimum tax would ensure that you were, you know, essentially paying more on that and that money would come back to the U.S. And so the administration and, you know, people on both sides of the aisle really have said that this could level the playing field for corporations and for countries.
So, Kate, as we said, this isn't a new idea, but is it taking on a new urgency in light of President Biden's infrastructure plan, which calls for raising the corporate tax rate?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I mean, beyond the tax rate increase that you just mentioned, the administration also wants to raise the minimum tax on U.S. companies' foreign earnings to 21%, and that would be calculated on a country-by-country basis. So that could create a significant disadvantage for U.S.-based companies operating overseas, because they would then face taxes that their global counterparts don't. So this is why the idea of a coordinated global minimum tax is so crucial to the administration's plans, because if the U.S. can get other countries to impose, you know, similar minimum taxes on companies based in their nations, then the U.S. headquarters wouldn't be, you know, at nearly as big of a disadvantage than if the U.S. were to just do this on its own.
What are some of the main challenges there in getting everyone to come on board?
Well, you know, the U.S. has been engaging in talks with more than 100 other countries through the OECD, that's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, about, you know, creating such a tax like this and rewriting the rules for where corporate income is taxed. And those negotiations are just really complicated, and they had been advancing, but they were basically slowed down by the pandemic. So this idea is actually, you know, what Janet Yellen said today is not that far off from what, you know, the previous Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said last year. The problem is you're essentially just asking everyone to kind of hold hands and jump at the same time to do something like this. And countries have their own interests. You know, for example, you know, this matters a lot to the U.S. because we have so many big U.S. headquartered companies that are globally dominant. They make a lot of money outside the U.S. But for, say, another country like Canada, you know, that doesn't have that, this might not hurt them, but, you know, why would they care? It's kind of like, you know, there might not be an urgency for them to do this.
And Yellen did continue to kind of hit on these themes of global coordination. And she spoke today ahead of meetings with her counterparts later this week from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Kate, what else struck you about her remarks today? And how do you think her speech set the tone for those upcoming meetings?
Yeah, well, her speech, this is really her first
big speech on the international stage, and really the first person from the Biden administration, I think, to speak directly to sort of global, our global economic counterparts, if you will. And the message was really that this administration is going to do things differently. You know, the tax piece of it was really one paragraph, and I think it was a 7-page speech where she talked a lot about the administration's commitment to restoring the U.S.'s role as a global leader, essentially. And she had some harsh words for the previous administration, basically said that she thought that they didn't really do enough last year to kind of address the pandemic and the economic crisis at home here in the U.S. And then in addition, you know, they didn't engage early enough to kind of help other countries to grapple with the problem last year. So she talked a lot about how it will be important as everyone starts, you know, looking toward a recovery, as things seem to be improving, working together to make sure that the recovery benefits poorer countries. That was a big theme that she hit on. But also that advanced economies aren't withdrawing fiscal support too soon. She also talked about climate change, which she's mentioned a number of times in the past. I think that will continue to be a big issue for finance ministers and central banks around the world, you know, this year and in next year and just into the future, as they kind of grapple with how to address this. And this is an area other countries, I think, have been leading on. At least that's the argument that the Biden folks have been making. And Yellen signaled, you know, Treasury will be very much at the table participating in those conversations.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Kate, thanks so much for joining me today.
Sure. Thanks, Anne-Marie.
And finally, we've talked about various supply chain issues, but this one is hitting us hard. Last year, many restaurants switched from sit-down to takeout dining, and that's put the squeeze on ketchup. Our reporter Heather Haddon has more on the condiment crisis.
Many restaurants in the U.S. right now, in addition to all their other troubles because of the pandemic, have had a shortage of ketchup. Either they've really struggled to get ketchup packets because there's so much demand for them these days, or they've had to rearrange how they sell ketchup because of the pandemic, so not being able to use the classic glass bottles that you typically get at a restaurant and having to put bulk ketchup in cups or also try to scrounge to get packets or different kinds of packets. So the pandemic has upended all the ways they typically like to serve ketchup and have done for years. And so they're having to patch things together to cope.
Ketchup packet prices have shot up by 13% since January of 2020. In response, ketchup's king, Kraft Heinz, says they're opening new manufacturing lines and running extra shifts to increase production by 25%. They hope to pump out more than 12 billion packets a year to catch up with demand. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.